This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series. Of Bandits and Bad Magic by Leslie Herron. Chapter 25, Lagunaria. Eric could count on one hand the number of times a plan of his had gone exactly the way it was supposed to. Needless to say, he couldn't help his amazement at how well things had gone. Sure, he was so weak his knees wavered and threatened to buckle with every agonizing step, but he had successfully asserted himself as the sole individual responsible for the safety and well-being of several million people. His heart began to race as bile filled his throat. Why had he agreed to this? He had never even cared for a pet before. Well, at least not very well. But an entire country? Before Eric could even contemplate the severity of what he had gotten himself into, the ground swung out from beneath him. He caught hold of a burning brazier, one of many that lined the windowless halls, to keep himself from crumpling into a heap. He felt a strong grip hoist him back to his feet and looked over to see Undine guiding him to a nearby bench beneath another hideous portrait of the Regent Lord. Eric collapsed into the padded seat with a shaky sigh, thanking her with a slight nod. Despite every cell in his body screaming at him in pain, he couldn't find the energy to care. At least, not as much as he should. The gaping wound in his soul left him feeling hollow, empty. It was probably the only thing keeping his mind from drowning in madness beneath the constant waves of agony. He was just about to close his eyes, deciding on a little siesta on the cold bench, when a commotion brought him back to the moment.
"I agree, but we have other issues to attend to first."
Hyra, in the middle of a heated discussion with the prince, was pacing back and forth in a circle, one hand rubbing at her bloodied cheek. Varen cast a wary glance in the doctor's direction. He had a mountain of doubts and concerns, things he needed to say, but the matter at hand was too dire. He turned back to the queen, signing the words, "We're all in danger. What could be more important?" Eric looked up at Undine, who was busy watching the halls and casting an occasional glance over to the bickering royals.
"What's going on? What are they arguing about?"
Undine watched for several moments as the prince pressed his worries on the queen in hasty and rather sloppy sign language.
"Varen feels the Regent Lord is onto us. He does not think we are safe inside these walls."
Knowing the prince had never steered them wrong, Eric felt inclined to believe him. He climbed to his feet and made to approach the others, using the wall as a support.
"Even if he is onto us..."
His words were cut off as the strong hand of Vertigo nearly shoved him to the ground. He caught his balance and maintained his stomach contents before giving his head a little shake. As it faded, he knew he was worse off now than the last time he had pushed his abilities. He would have to negotiate a side trip back to the Infinite Tower at this rate. He returned his focus back to the queen and the prince.
"Even if he is onto us, which I really doubt after that show I put on for him, we can't just leave. If I'm supposed to deliver some big speech in front of thousands of people in the city, how would that look if I just disappeared? We're trying to save these people from a tyrannical leader, right? I can't abandon them now."
Hyra slowly lowered her hand from her face, holding back a swell of heartache. He sounded more like Elias than he knew. But She could see the prince was unwilling to let things go as he began to pull the chalkboard from his bag. She reached out, stopping his hands.
I know you're worried, but Eric makes a fine point. We can't run away. Not yet. Even if Lucien wasn't convinced, the council certainly was. To move against us now would be seen as treason. We must play whatever role the Regent Lord has cast for us until we can conceive of a better plan.
Varin scowled, but shoved the slate back into his bag reluctantly. Pyra took a slow, steadying breath.
We should regroup and discuss our next move. Escort His Majesty to his chambers. I will gather our companions from the dungeon.
Pyra turned to Eric.
You did well today. I don't know how to thank you for what you did back there.
She noted the sallow shade of his skin with a sigh.
You look awful. Go get some sleep. You've earned it.
As she turned to leave, Undine fell in step beside her. Pyra held up a hand, speaking under her breath.
Please, stay with them. The prince seems ill at ease with this plan. I just need a moment to myself.
Undine wavered for a moment, but gave a stiff nod and moved back towards Eric. Varin watched the queen disappear down the darkened halls as his concern continued to well up inside him. He turned back to the others, signing, "What do we do now?"
"He is asking how we wish to proceed."
Thankful he didn't have to ask for further translation, Eric nodded.
Give me a minute to catch my breath, then we can try again.
He looked up, rather sheepishly, at the imposing, muscular woman.
Unless you want to carry me?
Undine gave him a sharp glance, clicking her tongue against her cheek. Eric held up his hands.
Not like that. I just meant...
She shook her head.
You misunderstand. I would, under normal conditions. But right now, you need to be Elias. And he was, to put it mildly, larger than life.
And being carried around like a child isn't something he would let happen. Got it.
Eric sighed. He knew someone just like that. Vel could clear a room with a sideways glance, and from what he gathered, Elias had a similar attitude. He mused for a moment on how he had ended up on the other end of the family spectrum. After a bit of effort, Eric managed to keep his feet beneath himself with Undine's help. He was just about to work up the courage to walk when the sound of hurried steps on the stone floor caught his attention. He looked over his shoulder to see the Regent Lord rushing towards them, his robes fluttering behind him. Lucien met them with his cold, calculating gaze.
My most sincere apologies, Your Highness. I need a moment of your time before you retire. Would you please follow me back to the war room?
Eric could see it in the man's face. The others were right. He knew. They were indeed playing right into the Regent Lord's scheming plans. Mimicking what he felt like his brother would do in this situation, he put on his best scowl.
Sincere or not, my time is not yours to waste.
Lucien quirked a brow, the flicker of a smile tugging at one side of his mouth. There was fight in this fish after all. He could work with that.
Of course. I wouldn't bother you if it wasn't a matter of life or death. But if you would rather I make the call myself, I would be more than happy to take the burden off your weary shoulders.
Eric's scowl deepened. He had no idea which way he was being baited. Silence hung heavy around them as he warred with himself on the best course of action until he could no longer stall.
Fine. I will meet you there. I need only a moment to confer with my companions.
As you wish.
Hook, line, and sinker. As the sounds of footsteps faded, Eric collapsed sideways into Ondine's arms, struggling to catch his breath. He looked up at her, his brows knitted together in concern.
If you can get me into the room, I can stand. But I won't be able to make it there on my own.
Very well,
Ondine nodded. Hopefully, the halls would remain empty. Silence pressed in on Pyra from the carved stone corridors of the mountain as she slowly moved further down into the bowels of Bastion Hall. Torchlight glittered off the iridescent stone, but the bleak color would serve to drain away any hope one might have as they were marched down these halls. Their dungeons were inescapable. No windows to shimmy out of, and no drainage systems to escape down. Just a single passageway that only wound deeper and deeper, and the occasional air vents that were no bigger than a fist. Beautiful, yet tragic. At last, she met the heavy wooden door and forced it open. A rowdy-looking bunch of guards were huddled around a table playing a game of dice for coin, while several others were kipped up beneath moth-eaten blankets, trying to squeeze in an ounce of rest between shifts. She navigated the rooms until she came face to, well, stomach, with an impressive amount of man. She looked up into the toothless grin of an exceptionally hairy guard.
Good afternoon, Brutus.
The grin widened.
Brutus.
Pyra patted the man on the arm as she offered him a warm smile. She had known him ever since he was a child, abandoned in the town center. Disfigured and twisted, he had grown into a towering height for a human, a true monster of a man. But he had the heart and mind of a child, beautiful yet tragic. More than once, she had to chastise him for sneaking sweet rolls to the royal hounds. He was one of the few left in the castle who treated her as an equal.
The cooks are preparing a big feast for tonight, and they asked for your help with tasting some of the desserts. We want to make sure they are good enough for our guests. Do you think you can do that for them?
Brutus gave a little bounce, his entire body moving as he nodded his head with excitement.
Brutus.
She smiled as she watched him go, knocking over the card table on his way out, much to the dismay of the players. She had, indeed, stopped by the kitchens to inform them that they would be asking for Brutus's help. Refusing at first, she had managed to convince them in the end, a trend that was likely to continue. Pyra turned her attention to the other man near the far end of the room. The captain was leaning back in a rickety wooden chair, dozing in and out of sleep. Ice returned to her voice as she shot,
I have come for the king's magician and his pet bear.
Arcanist!
The guard scoffed as he leaned forward, dropping the chair back onto all fours. He reached up and pulled the strand of straw from his mouth.
Oh, yeah? Do you have the signed release forms from the Regent Lord stating his approval of this decision?
Pyra squared off her shoulders.
Am I, or am I not, still queen of this castle?
The man chuckled.
I'm just following orders, ma'am. The Regent Lord
is no longer in command.
Pyra leaned over him, staring him down.
Or haven't you heard? My husband has returned.
She watched the color drain from the guard's face.
Yes, the man who raised thousands of soldiers to do his bidding in on death.
She took a step back, placing a finger on her lip in feigned contemplation.
What do you think he would do to someone like you, should he find out about your utter and complete disrespect of the Queen?
The guard floundered to his feet, snapping his spine straight and placing a closed fist on his left shoulder in salute.
My apologies, Your Highness.
He pointed at one of the men who had resumed playing dice.
You, release the magician and his pet, and that stinking undead. Arcanist!
Pyra put her hands on her hips.
It also seems you and your men are in need of something to do.
She glanced around the room.
We can't have lazy guards protecting the kingdom. I want all of you out on patrol. Several units making security inspections on the outer walls of the castle.
She could see the other men watching her intently, but none of them made to move. She leveled a glare at the captain.
Now!
He could feel the weight of all the eyes on him, but none burned into him so thoroughly as those of the Queen. He whipped around to face the others.
Well, you heard the Queen. Break off into squads and do perimeter checks. Now!
Pyra continued to bore into him with her gaze.
You, escort the King's companions to his personal chambers, then join the rest of your men.
But then who will watch the prisoners?
I've always wondered what it's like to be an undead soldier, haven't you?
The threat was not lost on him as he swiveled on his heels to address the mage.
You three, with me.
Atlas gave the Queen a sly smile and tipped his hat as they walked past.
Remind me not to cross you.
Pyra waved the Arcanist along, sighing a little as she did.
The others should be in the King's quarters.
She gave the bear a gentle scratch beneath his chin.
I'll catch up with you. I just need a moment, please.
Come on, Barry. Let's see about getting in on that fine feast they were going to have. Maybe they could use a few more royal food tasters.
Pyra shook her head as she watched them leave the prison. The undead creature, affectionately known as Bob, shuffling along behind them. What nobody ever remembered was that those poor creatures that Elias had raised were the fallen soldiers who had lost their lives protecting their families. They weren't his victims. They were patriots who had willingly served in life and in death. The living had voiced their concerns, but where would they be without the sacrifice? The door shut with a resounding, hollow clunk, signifying that she was alone. A sentiment that was true in more than one way. Her husband was still missing, likely dead. Her kingdom was on the brink of total collapse, and her fate and that of her people was in the hands of a motley crew of misfits. She raised a hand to her cheek, feeling the sting of the cuts. It was all so much. An impossible burden that crushed her beneath its weight. She leaned against the bars of the nearest cell. Her fingers trembled, and she moved them over her mouth to muffle her sobs.
50 years. She was mad at the Regent Lord for taking what wasn't his to take. She was mad with Varen for allowing him to do so. She was mad at Elias for disappearing when she needed him most.
She slid down the bars, letting the tears flow free. She heaved in ragged lungfuls of air. Most of all, she was mad at herself for being too weak to save anyone.
Tears. I thought you were the Stone Queen of Ebra.
Pyra jumped, adrenaline forcing her to scrabble on all fours away from the prison cell she was slumped against. From the thick, dark shadows, she could barely make out the form of the orc who had led them back to the city. Her wrists had been bound with iron shackles that connected to chains around her ankles. She was stained with so much dried blood and filth, she was easily mistaken for part of the room. Pyra climbed to her feet, hastily wiping her eyes with the backs of her hands.
I'm not.
It was no use. The tears continued to roll down her cheeks as she cleared her stuffy nose with a hearty sniff.
I thought I was alone.
Rassizi rolled to her side, slowly pushing herself from the ground. She limped to the bars, placing her thick fingers around them.
And what would a spoiled queen have to cry about?
Spoiled?
Pyra gave a sarcastic chuckle.
Is that what you think of me?
Rassizi scoffed.
Everyone knows the tale of the Selkie princess. Raised in the courts, wed to the richest royalty that would have her.
Pyra scowled.
The Selkie tribes have no courts or castles for me to have been raised in. My kind were decimated by the Brotherhood, driven from our homes in the far west. Now we are nomads, trading across the continent to build political ties so that one of them might shelter us the next time we face extinction. I was raised for the courts, not in them.
Rassizi rolled her eyes.
You still got to marry a king.
I was forced to marry whoever would provide my people the greatest benefit. All my siblings were. My father would take us aside every day and tell us, you will face hardships like no others of your kind. Being chosen is never easy, but you must always remember that your duty is to your people, for their problems will become yours once you have been wed. And I was lucky. While my sisters married elderly land barons, I was chosen by someone who saw what I could do not for him, but for his people. We shared a goal, and then...
And then he died.
Rassizi pointed a finger at her.
But you continued to fight, not for power, but for your people, Ebra and Selkie alike.
Pyra blinked, caught off guard.
Men of power will never respect you, but your efforts haven't gone unnoticed. The problem is you act like the prim and proper courtesan they told you to be. You aren't one of them. You are the heir of a people who knows true sacrifice. You, who have done more for these people than any leader of men ever has. Be that queen. Remove Lucian's arms like the wings of a fly and reclaim what is yours.
Pyra stuffled a shuddering sob and wiped her face once more. But she couldn't find the words. Rassizi let go of the bars and shuffled around her cage.
You and I aren't so different. Up against a mountain of doubt, facing the burden of leadership.
She ran her tongue along her broken tusk with a short huff.
I know why you cry where they can't see you.
She placed her back against the bars and slid down them until she sat on the floor.
It's because we aren't allowed to let them see what's inside. If they do, they'll know they can break us.
Pyra looked around to see if any others had remained. The rest of the cells were empty. After a few moments, she moved over to the bars and did the same, sliding down back to back with the orc.
Thank you.
Rassizi snorted.
I still think you're spoiled.
Pyra gave a weak smile.
Maybe. I mean, at least I'm not locked up in a cell like you.
Rassizi actually laughed. Hira pulled away and turned to look at the orc.
How did you end up in here? I thought you left.
Rassizi groaned.
I made the mistake of foolishly doubling back to help you. That rowdy bunch of gamblers you swindled were busy reporting you to the guards, and one of them spotted me.
Hira frowned. She had been raised on stories of the Twisted, preying on Selkie merchant ships, killing and looting anyone unfortunate enough to get too close. They had no morals, no sense of honor. She had also been raised to think the courts of men and fae were fair and just. Rassizi waved off the queen.
But don't worry. I have a plan to get myself out of here.
Hira quirked a brow. But these dungeons are inescapable.
True, but we Twisted believe in rebirth. And after they hang me tomorrow, I'm coming back as a dragon to burn this wretched city to the ground.
A glimmer of light flickered in the reflection of the torches, and Hira turned to see a shining set of brass keys hanging on a small hook near the door. She bit back on a grin.
You could do that.
She still wasn't sure she could trust the Twisted. But a deal was a deal.
Or I could walk you out the front door.
Eric dragged a hand down across his face, attempting to wipe the tired from his eyes. Blurred vision clouded his mind, and he struggled to make sense of the map, the different colored pawns, or the way they were being ushered across the board by various members of the council.
I'm sorry. I don't understand what you need from me.
Lucian's mouth curled into a smile.
Your Highness is indeed exhausted if he's failing to understand a war map.
He gestured to the colored wooden soldiers clumped together at one end of the board.
As I stated before, we have received word from the southern front that our forces have fallen. It will only be a matter of days before these soldiers...
He paused to push the wooden figures towards the kingdom drawn on the map.
Invade and raise our beloved cities to the ground.
Eric's gaze flickered over to the prince, who was intently watching his siblings. He swallowed the pit in his stomach, missing his own brother now more than ever.
I get that. I get all of this.
He waved his hand in a wide gesture across the map.
What I'm not understanding is what you want from me. Can't you simply send our soldiers down to confront them?
Lucian hid his amusement with a heavy, overdramatic sigh. It was too easy, like stealing pups from a sleeping dog.
Brother, please. You know our forces pale in comparison against 3 invading armies.
Eric held up a hand.
Wait, 3?
Lucian nodded.
The Brotherhood has allied all the nations of men. We are the last ruling Fae family left, aside from the native tribes of the Enshrined Wilds and the scattering of Selkie Islands. Our country borders 3 nations to the west, and they aim to carve us up into equal shares.
Eric pointed at the fragile old man in black robes, who was currently dozing in a bench along the eastern wall.
If the Brotherhood is our greatest threat, then why is the Archbishop part of your war council?
Lucian held up a hand in a conciliatory gesture.
For one, if we didn't, they would declare us heretics and call for our extermination.
You mean like sending 3 armies against us?
And second, one should always keep their friends close and their enemies closer.
Eric pinched the bridge of his nose. Letting them sit in on your counter-strategy session might be a bit too close, don't you think? Lucian raised his hands in defeat.
You are king. You may ostracize His Excellency if you wish. That does not address our current issue.
What do you expect me to do? I can't just produce more soldiers.
As soon as the words left Eric's lips, he realized the shape of the trap he had just blundered into. Folding his arms behind his back, Lucian circled the table, moving behind and around his council members like a hungry shark prowling the shallows.
But you can.
Eric shifted his glance around the room. Everyone was watching, waiting for his next move. He knew where this was going, now knowing what it was the Regent Lord wanted from him.
You, who command 10,000 undead, could easily squash this uprising.
Lucian put his hand on the map, dragging his fingers along the edge of his country's border.
You must meet these soldiers on the fields of Emberon and decimate their forces so their kings can no longer come for what is yours.
Eric closed his eyes and took a deep breath. His mind was frayed, and he could feel his body falling apart at the seams. He couldn't do what they asked, and he couldn't refuse. He had waltzed right into Lucian's trap.
Of Bandits and Bad Magic is book 3 of the ongoing series by Leslie Herron. Tune in every few weeks to hear the latest chapter as it's being written. If you'd like to listen to books 1 and 2, you can find links in the description.
Oh, gods! The creme brulee! Is this real custard?
Not supposed to see, Bess. That was imported!
Brutus!
No!
Oh, a sweet roll! Don't mind if I do. Thank you, Brutus.
That took me hours to make!
Brutus!
No, not the apple fritters! And he ate the apple fritters. I hate Wednesdays.
Can I get some of this to go, please?